Our second testament reading today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling, saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I love a good story, don't you? Stories take thoughts and ideas, and they put skin on them. They take facts and philosophy, dreams and joys and heartbreak, and turn them into something we can fall in love with, something that can teach us, something that can inspire us. Stories help us find ourselves in the world, and they can help us express who we are. And in the case of our time together this morning, stories can help us figure out theology. That is, what do we believe about God? What do we believe about who God is and how God interacts with humankind? Helps us digest this theology. These stories that we're looking at today, they help us break it down and understand it and turn it into something that can guide our lives and nourish our souls. Today we are looking at a story within a story. In Luke chapter 15, we find Jesus, as we so often do, hanging out with the wrong people. At least that is according to the Pharisees and the scribes. They are taking their usual position, comfortably perched upon their high horse, mumbling, grumbling, elbowing each other. "This fellow welcomes and even eats with sinners," they say scornfully. These leaders, who were the religious authority of their time, were the self-appointed morality police. They confidently sat in judgment of anyone and everyone who fell short of their standards. And it was this toxic judgment of others that Jesus was responding to when he told the parables that we are looking at today. Now, often it seems to me that we get the parables wrong. We think they are another way that Jesus is telling us what we should do, another way that to show us where we're falling short. Perhaps we think that they're like Aesop's fables, little tales of morality to keep us on the straight and narrow, like the boy who cried wolf or the tortoise and the hare. But parables are not quaint and cutesy. They are not presenting to us the gold standard of what we would look like if we finally got this Jesus following thing right. What are parables? Parables are pictures painted by Jesus, pictures of how God works in the world, pieces of spiritual art. They need to be sat with, looked at from a different perspective, lingered over, discussed to be understood. And parables are crazy. I mean, really strange and troubling and not straightforward or crystal clear at all. Which I suppose fits with the revelation, what the revelation of God is like. Mysterious. Mysterious and strange. There we go. Mysterious and strange, and not necessarily how we would go about doing things if it was our job to communicate these truths. Today we're looking at two pictures, two paintings of Jesus, if you will, to help us see how God works in the world. Jesus says, "I want you to imagine that you are a sheep herder and that you have 100 sheep. Now, one of those sheep goes missing. Wouldn't you leave the 99 and go into the wild and search for that one sheep?" he says. "Well, no. No, I would not, and I don't think you would either. I mean, what kind of a shepherd would leave the 99 to the wolves for the sake of one sheep? Not a shepherd that wants to make his living off of those sheep, that's for sure. The smart shepherd sticks with the 99 and cuts his losses. But not in this story. The seemingly foolish shepherd in this parable leaves the 99. He goes in search of the one lost wandering sheep, and he finds it. And then he does something even more unusual. He rejoices. He doesn't scold or take time for some sheep training or send that sheep straight back to the pen and lock the door in frustration. This unusual shepherd is filled with joy at the return of his one sheep. He picks it up and he drapes it over his shoulders in a show of deep care and compassion, and he takes it home with him. And then he calls his friends together. He throws a party to celebrate the return of this one sheep. What a guy. But then the story ends with this verse. "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need not repentance." The next story follows in the same strange fashion. A woman has 10 coins, and she loses one and abandons everything else for the sake of finding that one coin. Now, maybe they're really special coins, like 1966 Canadian silver dollars, or the commemorative set of 1988 Olympic coins, maybe. But still, throw a party? Really? Wouldn't the party cost more than the value of that one coin? Maybe call a friend or buy a better coin purse, but throw a party? And again, Jesus ends this story with a phrase, "Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, nowhere in either story does Jesus tell us anything about the repentant heart of the sheep or the coin. Neither one even seems to have the potential to repent. Furthermore, there is no one who is a righteous person who need not repent. We read in Romans 3:10, and we know that there is no one righteous, not even one. So what is this repentance piece all about? Parables, hey? What is the good news for us in these stories? What is Jesus trying to tell us about the work of God in the world? What is he trying to tell us with these strange paintings? I think that I have been unsurprisingly seeing myself at the center of these stories. If you're like me, you've heard these stories so many times, the story of the lost sheep, that you don't really think about it critically. Perhaps you have had at some point in your life, that picture of Jesus with the little lamb across his shoulders up on the wall of your room. This picture of the good shepherd who has sought and found his sheep has a sense of nostalgia to it. It brings with it a sense of belonging and love for me. I see myself as that wee lamb. I see myself in the story. But I don't think the central character in these parables are the sheep and the coin. When I was 16, I went on a family vacation with my grandma and aunt and an uncle and their children, and it was my favorite family vacation ever. Now, it maybe was my favorite because it was the last family vacation I had before I had a full-time job, but nonetheless, it was an amazing trip. We drove down the Pacific coast through Washington, then into Oregon, into California, and finally into Redwood National Park. It was like entering Middle Earth. The grandeur of the trees, Their breathtaking size and ancientness had us all captivated. And like any really good road trip, at least if you're with me, this one has lots of stopping to look around. I know that's not everybody's version of a good road trip, but it is for me. And the unbelievable redwood forest is the perfect place for picnicking. We had eaten our lunch atop a giant fallen cedar and played and wandered around the forest floor when it was time to move on. There were about 12 of us, so we had two separate vehicles. You see where I'm going? It was Bradley. That's who we left behind. Little, adorable, 10-year-old Bradley. It was about 15 minutes down the road that we realized via our CB radios that Bradley was missing from both vehicles. The caravan turned around, we all raced back to our picnic site, and there we found him, sitting atop a giant cedar stump. "I wasn't worried. I knew you'd come back for me," he said. At first look, this story is about Bradley, who was lost. But if you were there, or if you have children and you've ever misplaced one of them, which I'm sure you never have, you know that the story is really about his mom and dad. It was really about their passion to be reunited with their most precious thing in the world. Sweet, wonderful Bradley. I think the central focus of these parables is the seeker. The tireless shepherd and the wide-eyed woman are really the source of good news for us in these Jesus paintings. In these characters, we encounter the good news of the gospel. This is good news. What governs God's behavior to us is not our sin. It is not our problems or habitual failings. It's not even our self-discipline or spiritual maturity. It is God's passionate desire for us, God's enthusiasm to be with us, God's inexhaustible love for us, and God's joy in finding that which others would have long ago given up on. These parables are about the passion of the seeker, not the worthiness or right doing of that which is lost. These parables teach that God's talent for finding us is greater than our gift for getting lost, which we do so well. Both items in the stories are found not because either of them does anything right, but because someone is determined to find them at all cost. The lost lamb and the coin are restored thanks to the shepherd and the woman's actions, not their own. These stories are about the good shepherd and the diligent woman and their passion to be reunited with the object of their deepest love, just like Bradley's mom and dad. These parables are a response to the judgmental, arrogant, morality-policing Pharisees. They are about rejecting the idea that there are certain conditions the lost must meet and certain qualities they must exhibit before they are eligible to be sought out and found. In these stories, Jesus reminds us of what he has been saying to us in word and action since the day he arrived on earth. "I do not see the world as you do. It is my grace, not your goodness, that brings us into communion. It is the last, the least, and the little who rule in my kingdom." This is the good news. We are valuable to God. We are a reason to celebrate. How do we take these parables and walk with them more deeply into the season of Lent? How does this good news impact our journey? The whispers of Ash Wednesday, "From dust you have come, to dust you shall return," they set the tone for this sacred season and remind us that we are not in control. It reminds us that the seeker is pursuing us. Perhaps this is the season for remembering that we have been found, and our finder is rejoicing and throwing a party to celebrate his reunion with his beloved sheep. We are no longer lost. we have been found. Let the good news of these parables seep into your hearts. The ever-seeking good shepherd and the wide-eyed, broom-carrying woman are bearing God's heart to you. We are loved. We are sought after. And we have been found, whether we feel worthy or not. Thanks be to God for this good, good news.